This is Issues and Ideas here on KCBX Central Coast Public Radio. I'm Randall White. New Year's Day is fast approaching, and with it comes many local traditions, including tuning into or physically going to the Tournament of Roses Parade in Pasadena. One highlight for Central Coast viewers for sure is watching as Cal Poly's float passes the judges. The float often wins top awards for its design. Probably not surprising to many of you, coming from a university well known for its engineering and design excellence. Cal Poly has partnered each year for nearly 70 years with its sister school in Pomona, each building half of the finished float. Then it all comes together in Southern California, and the end result is on television to millions of viewers. It's the only student-built float in the entire parade, Cal Poly tells us. Two of this year's main contributors of the San Luis Obispo-based team are joining us in studio right now to explain the process and what we can all expect come January 1st. Ian Davison and Morgan Montalvo, welcome to Issues and Ideas here on KCBX.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah, great to have you in studio. And I won't say congratulations yet because it hasn't passed the judges. but I'm sure, again, it'll be a great float. Ian, last year you drove the float and were the construction chair. What was that? That was your first time driving the float?
Yes. For everyone driving the float, it's their first time.
Oh, so you get to do it one time and that's it?
That's pretty much it.
And what was that like, you knowing that so many people are watching, not just physically they're watching, but you know that the cameras are on you and it's all down to that moment?
It's kind of surreal, really, because you're in a very small space. The crew compartments are cramped, and it's dark inside except for your lights, and you have about a 3 by 8 inch slit to look out of. So there's very much a separation between you and the rest of the world, and it's kind of easy to lose yourself inside the float and forget about everything else. But when you drive past Cal Poly's section, they're 5 feet from you, and they cheer by far the loudest than any other part of the parade.
Right.
And then it's at that moment that you realize, oh my goodness, I'm on TV across the world, and there are 700,000 people watching me today. And your heart starts to flutter a little bit, and you realize the magnitude of the project you've worked on all year.
That's amazing. What was the weather like last January 1st? Was it warm?
It was cold.
It was cold.
It's typically very cold. I think last year was a record cold. And on the parade.
So being jammed in that small space wasn't necessarily a bad thing, like heat,
no.
Like temperature-wise.
No, it wasn't. But the night before, the operators typically sleep in the float. We have to man the float all night before the parade. And at that point, we are bundled in sleeping bags, nested inside sleeping bags.
And this year, you're the program leader, so you're the top dog when it comes to the San Luis Obispo end of things.
Correct.
And it was, a month or two ago that you had to drive what you had so far at this point in San Luis down to Pomona to start the joining process.
Mm-hmm. That was October 24th.
October 24th. And how's it gone since then? And what's it like teaming up with people from an entirely different campus?
The biggest challenge is communication, for sure, because we are 240 miles apart. And so making sure that our two teams are operating in parallel toward the same goal at synchronized timelines is really a good challenge. So it's a lot of phone calls and emails back and forth to my counterpart, the program lead on their campus. It's a lot of networking between our department chairs and theirs. We do weekly phone calls, weekly Skype calls, in addition to weekly meetings with our advisors between the two campuses.
I imagine any time there's a creative process, heads can butt at some point. Is that pretty much kept to a minimum, or is there sort of a constant debate over what the float should look like in the end?
It varies from year to year. We typically finalize the design for the float in mid to late May, and then at that point, we've got it all figured out. There is a lot of butting heads at that time, and it is really difficult to do a democratic design process by committee with over 50 people involved on that leadership team. But it's important to us to involve all of the students and to have everyone invested in the project, so we make sure that everyone's voice is heard, because that's the only way to really ensure a successful float for the year is to have everyone invested in it.
And this year's float is called Sweet Shenanigans. Morgan, you are the construction chair this year, correct?
Yes.
For the float? And you'll be driving. This year is your one and only year to do it.
Yeah. So this year I'll be driving for the first time. Also my first time being construction chair. So I'm pretty excited for that.
What was your role last year?
I was on the construction team last year. It was my first time actually on committee, so that means for the full year. Before that, I was just volunteering as a freshman. So I've moved from construction to actually leading the construction team.
So as our listeners right now are tuning in and hearing your voice, when they're watching the Tournament of Roses parade, they'll see this beautiful float, I'm assuming, Sweet Shenanigans, heading down, what is that, Colorado Boulevard?
Yep.
And underneath it all will be you. At the front or the back? Where is the person situated?
I'm actually right in the strawberry in the front. There's like probably like a 5-foot strawberry right smack down the front. I'm sitting literally inside of that. And then my counterpart is sitting in the ice cream scoop right next to me.
All right. You just heard it. Look for the strawberry and the ice cream scoop. And so you're giving away some elements of the design. Explain for us, Sweet Shenanigans, what will people see?
So Sweet Shenanigans is more of a humorous float. Last year we had a very elegant, beautiful float, which we were awarded for. But this year we took a little bit of a different approach. Some call it the Cal Poly design more, where it's a very humorous, lively, fun-filled float. So you'll see basically a giant winter wonderland of ice cream and cones and lollipops and all these gummy bears having their own special kind of adventure, because this year's theme is Find Your Adventure. And we decided, you know, to take that in a different light.
Do we think sort of California Girls Katy Perry video? Is that that's what I'm imagining?
That definitely crossed our minds throughout the year. That was part of the design process. We've ixnayed that since then. But
yeah.
So now it'll look different than that, but bright colors and fun. And from what I understand, there is an element to the to all of the action on the float that is a first time for any float in the parade. One of the characters is throwing something to one of the other characters, and it's not attached to anything. Is that right? Do I understand?
Yeah. So this year, we believe it's the first time in the parade that we are trying to actually have a projectile on the float. At first, we were like, well, maybe we should have it attached just in case something goes wrong. We were really nervous about what tournament would think about that, because you don't want to be throwing snowballs at the crowd.
Right.
But in the end, we actually decided to try out a projectile, controlled projectile from it's basically a gummy bear midway in the float to that front scoop I was talking about. And it's about a 12-foot length that it's going to be traversing, and then recycling that snowball back and relaunching it.
Now, Ian Morgan said snowball, but by the rules of the parade, everything has to be made out of something organic. What are the rules exactly?
The strict technical term is botanical material. So anything derived from a plant, it can't be altered in any way, can't be dyed. We can dry things, but the color cannot be changed, and it has to be a plant-based material. So the snowballs this year are actually 8-inch diameter styrofoam balls that are going to be covered in a layer of paint and then powdered white rice.
Oh, okay, so whatever's on the surface has to be botanical.
Yeah.
And so powdered white rice will make up the snowball. And how do they look? I imagine they're already at that stage now or not?
We have one that has been partially decorated for our testing purposes, but we don't have all of them yet. We're going to have, I think, a total of 4 that we're going to use to cycle through. And they look kind of like very nice uniform snowballs, just scaled up to 8 inches.
I imagine, Morgan and Ian, that there is a lot of work and planning and design that goes into, you know, we're talking a whole year of looking at this up until a couple of days before, and then that's when the real work begins, because there is so much material that I imagine has a very short lifespan, the flowers and that sort of thing. How do you deal with that? When do you, Morgan, when do you start actually applying the material that will start decaying as soon as you start applying it?
Well, there's dry deco material, which is, as Ian said, dried flowers or dried seeds. That can be applied when we get there the day after Christmas. So the day after Christmas, we start applying all the dry material that we can in preparation for all of the fresh material, like the roses, the tulips, other flowers like that, which realistically we can max do 4 days is pushing it before the parade. So those 3 days before the parade is all fresh flowers, which are being applied to the float. And then the day before the parade and a little bit before after that is all of what we call wild flowers, where they actually need water to sustain them. So there's a small container of water with the flower that we stab into the float. So those are only applied pretty much the day before the parade.
And this all takes place in a staging area or at on campus at Pomona, or in both places?
It actually takes place in right across from the Pasadena Rose Bowl Stadium. So they set up a giant tent. Us and a few other float builders are in that tent, and we're all decorating in that area. So there is a staging area where we'll deco at, and then we take our decoed float from that staging area all the way to Colorado Boulevard.
And Ian, there really aren't enough students to master this, right? So you use volunteers from both the Central Coast and, I imagine, from the Pomona area?
Yes, we need all the volunteers we can get during this week. Between this December 26th and December 30th, we are taking hundreds of volunteers per day, working four-hour shifts to help get all these flowers on. It's so much manual labor that our team of students simply can't do it. I've been quoting numbers of 200,000 to 400,000 individual flowers going on the float, and that's not including things like seeds, our powdered rice, our vegetables. We've used potatoes in the past, cabbage, and some of these seeds are placed with tweezers by hand to get really precise, fine outlines. And so we have groups of four people working for 3 days just on some of that fine detail work. Meanwhile, we've got another group of 10 people processing all the flowers, preparing them to go in the vials, filling the vials with water, and then stabbing those into the float on the few days before the parade. So there is an incredible amount of work to be done, and months go into planning the whole process and planning who's going to be facilitating and overseeing which part. We've got it down to a science at this point after all our years in the parade.
Is there a waiting list for volunteers, or you're still taking them?
We're still taking volunteers. So if you look on our Cal Poly Facebook, or on our Facebook page, Cal Poly Rose Float, Cal Poly University's Rose Float, or if you go on our website, our ASI website through the Cal Poly SLO campus.
And we'll make sure we add links to those at Issues and Ideas here on KCBX.
Mm-hmm. There's a link to our Eventbrite sign up where you can sign up for any number of shifts, any number of people. If you're a group of eight or more, we ask you to email us directly at cprfdeco@gmail.com. Otherwise, use the Eventbrite to sign up for a shift.
Excellent. And how exciting to do that. If I was going to be around, I would definitely do that because it's the one opportunity you have to watch a major nationally televised event like this and say, I put that whatever it is right mm-hmm. there. And Morgan, we told people already to look for the strawberry because that's where you'll be driving. What should people be looking for that is the most complicated part of the float, the part that you're sort of wringing your hands about, and either in design or putting it together or in execution?
Oh.
Do we want to draw attention to the most complicated part?
Good point, right?
Yeah. It's like, oh, man.
If it doesn't work on parade, then we're in trouble.
Yeah,
that's true, right.
There's also just so many things which I think are complicated, and there's so many things that could potentially go wrong, which is why it's so frightening.
Because there's a lot
year.
Of movement.
Yeah, there's always a lot of movement, and it's, you know, it is student built. Like sometimes there's a freak accident where, you know, something doesn't spin. You're like, oh, well, all year you spent working on this, but something happens. So,
but in general, Cal Poly wins a lot of awards for their Rose Parade entries. And I know that a lot of awards are given out at the Rose Parade, but some awards are more important than others. Is there an award you're really hoping for this time around, Ian?
I haven't had a specific one in mind because I don't like to psych myself up for something and then not get it. But I'd expect us to be strong contenders for either the Fantasy Award this year or the Humor Trophy, Bob Hope Humor.
Excellent. Well, we wish you the best of luck. Of course, all of us here on the Central Coast will, if we can, we'll be watching. Ian Davison and Morgan Montalvo, Cal Poly students, helping to put together at least half of the float that will show up in the Rose Parade this year. Thank you so much for joining us here on Issues and Ideas.
Thank you, Randall.
Yeah, thank you.
And as we mentioned, the volunteer sign-up site and even images of the float, at least artist renderings of what the float should look like are on our website as well, kcbx.org. This is Issues and Ideas. I'm Randall White. Nice to have you with us here on KCBX.